Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning, everyone. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Happy last day of June, a month that for many years already was associated with both marriage and gay pride. And June 2011 will go down in history in New York as the month they came together legally. But even if you're heading out the door right now to elope to the municipal building before month's end, consider this. Well, actually, don't go out to elope to the municipal building today because the law doesn't affect till late July. Take effect until late July. You know that, right? I think it's July 24th or 25th. So you can't actually do it yet. But we're learning that a side effect of marriage equality may be losing benefits that you currently have at work as a domestic partner. The Wall Street Journal, Greater New York section, has reported on this. The Times had an op-ed by our next guest. So let's talk to Catherine Franke, director of the Center for Gender and Sexuality Law at the Columbia University Law School. Professor, thanks for coming on WNYC today.
That's my pleasure, Brian. Good morning.
The Journal reported that at least two major companies already, IBM and Raytheon, will drop health care and other benefits for unmarried domestic partners because gays and lesbians can now marry. Do you object to that policy?
Well, I do. Part of why we passed these domestic partnership laws many years ago, actually, these are not new, was to create ways to recognize family outside of marriage so that marriage didn't have a monopoly on the ways in which we could get economic and financial benefits and legal benefits for families. So to have same-sex marriage now be the way in which we cut off those rights for domestic partners seems to me to be a bad outcome, rather than seeing marriage as something among a menu of ways in which one can have your relationship legally recognized.
But do you think that's why companies really enacted domestic partnership benefits so that marriage wouldn't have a monopoly? Weren't unmarried domestic partners historically included in some companies' benefit plans specifically to give equivalent benefits to gays and lesbians who were barred from marrying by law? Because there was no history, I don't think, of unmarried couple benefits in the workplace until, what, 15 or 20 years ago, and expressly for this reason?
Not necessarily. I think for some employers that was true, that domestic partnership benefits were kind of a second best or consolation prize for same-sex couples who couldn't marry, and the employers were trying to extend a benefit that they were actually ahead of the law by allowing same-sex couples to get benefits that way. But that wasn't true for many, many employers who understood, in like the city of New York, that recognizes domestic partnerships for both same and different-sex couples, that one doesn't have to marry to be in a committed relationship.
So
the law in New York allows employees of the city of New York to get those benefits, whether or not they're married. It was never understood as a sort of workaround until we got the marriage thing figured out.
And whether they're gay or straight, right? The domestic part, or did that vary from workplace to workplace too? Could heterosexual, unmarried domestic partners take advantage of these policies?
In some workplaces, yes. But let me give you one example where the answer is no, and I think it's actually a problem, which is where I work at Columbia. If you're heterosexual, you have to marry to get benefits for your partner. If you're gay or lesbian, you don't. And indeed, you don't even have to be domestic partnered. All I had to do was fill out a form online to certify that my partner and I live together and that we're economically independent, or excuse me, dependent upon each other.
Mm-hmm.
So a graduate student friend of mine who happens to be heterosexual was trying to put his partner on the plan, and the benefits office person sort of laughed and said, well, if you were gay, it'd be much easier, but I'm afraid you're going to have to go get married to get her on the policy. That, to my mind, is both sexual orientation discrimination.
Against heteros.
Yes, exactly. You know, sexual orientation-based protections in employment don't only extend to gay people. Anybody can be discriminated against on the basis of their sexual orientation.
So, listeners, we're going to open up the phones on this, and we would like to hear from those of you who are unmarried partners and getting some kind of benefits through your workplace or your partner's workplace, and those of you who are employers who offer such benefits. If there are any employers listening, Do you offer domestic partner benefits because gay marriage has not been legal in New York? Will you, like IBM and Raytheon, stop doing this and just require all the partners to get married if they want the benefits because now they can? Or is there something more to it, as our guest Catherine Frankie from the Columbia University Law School is suggesting, that it's to deny marriage itself a monopoly over workplace partner benefit status? 212-433-WNYC. And if you're an unmarried partner, especially, you know, I mean, it's going to be new to gays and lesbians in New York who are only now getting the right to marry, you know, almost new to people in Connecticut who've had it for a short time. But if you're hetero and living together and not getting married, call us up and tell us why you're not getting married. Is it just for the traditional reason of, you know, checking each other out and making sure that it works before you tie the knot? Or is it something else? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Give us a call. And Catherine,
Brian, let me just point out one thing I want your listeners to be aware of, which is that many employers in New York have been recognizing the marriages of same-sex couples who married in, say, Connecticut.
Yes.
And one worry I have is that a lot of gay folks are going to go out and marry again in New York because we can. And this is actually going to create a big problem because you may have to get divorced twice.
Twice?
With different rules.
You mean if you later divorce in New York?
That's right. You may have to divorce both in New York and in Connecticut. There's some gay people who are getting very excited about this and are going around getting married in every state where they can as a kind of act of excitement about marriage. But it may create real legal problems if those relationships break up at some point.
Can you do that? Could a hetero do that now, a heterosexual couple? If we got married in New York, can we then go to Connecticut and get married again? Or will they tell us, no, you're already married?
Well, the law says you can't be legally married to someone else.
Yeah, but to the same person.
It doesn't say you can't be legally married to each other. So the marriage license bureaus are not barring people from marrying a second time in a second state.
Huh. That's interesting. Let's see. Michael in Brooklyn wants to challenge your moral premise, I think. Michael, you're on WNYC.
Well, yeah.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? Yeah, okay. I read Ms. Frank's op-ed piece the other day, and it got me very upset. First of all, let me say that I'm a same-sex married person. And it seemed that the piece in the Times seemed as if she was saying that she wants to avoid sort of the patriarchal, the moral taint of complicity with the patriarchal, heteronormative institution of marriage, but she still wants to get the benefits for her partner. So that's why we should have some other institution, so that I can have some mechanism for getting benefits, but I don't have to buy into marriage. I thought that was hypocritical.
Professor?
Well, has been the situation for a long time, that one can get benefits in many workplaces, whether or not you're married. I don't have a problem if you want to get married. That's fine. And I actually think it's a wonderful thing that same-sex couples can get married in New York, because barring us from doing so, I think, is really based in homophobia. So I celebrate this change in the law, but I don't think private employers such as Columbia University, and I don't know where you work, should be in the marriage promotion business, should be involved in encouraging their employees to marry, or worse, requiring them to do so when they may not want to. So I applaud the change in the law, and I think it's wonderful that you're married, and it's great that people in New York can now do this, but I don't think employers should be requiring us to marry in order to get the benefits we already have.
Michael, thank you for your call. So do you recoil at all from the gay and lesbian activist emphasis on marriage? Because while equality matters, you made that very clear, they should not be denied this equality under the law, it kind of elevates an institution that, in your opinion, might not deserve it quite that much?
Well, I do think that marriage and service in the military, service, the last two places of state-sponsored official homophobia in the starkest way, by barring our participation in two very important civil institutions,
right,
and public institutions, marriage and the military. So I completely applaud these efforts to remove those restrictions in the military and in marriage. But I would also like to see a larger and broader agenda in the lesbian and gay community, and we do have one. So now that we've got this work done and Don't Ask, Don't Tell is close to being repealed, there is a lot of other important work for us to move on to.
It is funny, in a way, I guess, that for many years, the political left and the cultural left were attacking the institutions of the military and of marriage, and then it turned to be focused almost exclusively, at least in the public debate, on, no, let everybody join the military, let everybody get married.
Well, I agree, and I do think that these two issues have crowded out work and attention to a whole range of economic justice issues, issues of homelessness, violence that lesbian and gay people experience, issues of gender-based discrimination within the lesbian and gay community that they're more complex to explain. The problems are harder to solve than just repealing a law. It's hard to fit the campaign on a bumper sticker. So, and that's true in every civil rights movement. It was easier to get rid of legally based segregation based on race than it has been to deliver much more complicated racial justice in this country. So I'm not surprised that we've gone down this road, because it is an easier kind of campaign to sell. But now is the time to do the harder work.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, as we talk about some companies, IBM and Raytheon, as cited by the Wall Street Journal, deciding to end domestic partnership workplace benefits, like health benefits for your unmarried partner, now that gays and lesbians will be able to get married in New York State. By the way, we got a tweet from, I guess, from Raytheon via the Journal that wants to correct something that was in the Journal article. They say, at Raytheon, we were the first aerospace and defense company to offer domestic partner benefits for same-sex couples, and they do not discriminate between same-sex and heterosexual employees. Both groups are treated equally, or it says equitably. But I guess what that means is that they're going to, they're still going to require both kinds of couples to get married in order to continue to get those benefits. Anita in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Yes, hi, Brian. I just wanted to shed light on an aspect you're not talking about, which is older couples, people who have been widowed or divorced and then come together and form couples, and they're couples like anybody else, just like as if they were married, but they don't get married because they, by this time, have their own family, they have their original families, and there are inheritance issues, and it just, there's no reason to get married. They're not planning to have any more children, and it's just a whole other thing. And there is, in general, if you look at Europe and Canada, and I think happening in the United States too, there has been a movement toward even younger couples not getting married. One of my daughters has been living with her partner for many years. They have a 2-year-old child. They may or may not at some point get married, but they haven't, and it doesn't mean that they're not domestic partners,
if they're
not a couple.
If they're committed to each other and they even have a kid together, why aren't they getting married?
They don't believe in it.
There you go.
It's a different attitude. It's a European attitude.
And I'm really glad you called and raised the issue of older people sort of post-previous marriage and some other reasons that people in committed partnerships don't get married. And so I guess, Anita, in your opinion, companies should offer workplace benefits to both kinds of partners, married and unmarried.
Yeah, I think there are things are very complicated. Everything is gray. There is no black and white. And nowadays, everybody just seems to be looking, or at least the media, seems to be looking at the world in terms of black and white. There are so many reasons for people doing things, not doing things, and there is no one good answer, and people should be allowed to work out their lives the way they see fit.
Well, not this show, but certainly the politicians and a lot of the media are looking at things in black and white. But Anita,
not this show at all. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Another issue being raised by Catherine in Lefferts Garden. Thank you very much. Hi.
Sure. Hi, Brian. I appreciate the point that your guest was making around the issues that connect economic issues and social issues around marriage. But one thing I just want to raise that isn't solved by marriage equality in New York and impacts a great many New Yorkers, there's a huge cohort of people who receive domestic partnership benefits as employees of the state. And those benefits are subject to tax as ordinary income through the federal government. And that does not change with the marriage equality law passing in New York. So in the case of a typical family, the household is taxed on what is somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000 of health benefits as though it was ordinary income, which has a significant tax burden for families. And this is something that, you know, it's as the caller just before was saying, these issues are complex in the social aspects, but they're also still very complex and unresolved in the economic side as well.
Right. Professor Franke, do you want to comment on that? And I imagine there will be some gay and lesbian couples now who maybe even were looking forward to getting married to a time when they could, and then they're going to look at their tax returns and say, oh my goodness, we may want to do this anyway, but there's actually a tax disincentive for us to get married.
Well, there's a special gay marriage penalty that your caller is exactly right about. If you put whether it's your domestic partner or what will soon be a gay or lesbian spouse on your health plan at work, because we still have the Defense of Marriage Act on the federal level, you don't gain the tax benefit of having that person on your health plan as your spouse, and she's absolutely right. It gets counted as income that you have to pay taxes on. At Columbia, they're trying to rectify this by paying us $1,000 to cover the cost of that tax bill, and hopefully that's what Raytheon is doing with in its clarifying tweet by saying it treats everybody equitably. I hope it's topping off the domestic partners who get taxed on those benefits. But until we change the federal law, no matter what happens on the state level, it doesn't change how the federal government treats or defines what marriage is.
And from Lefferts Gardens, Brooklyn, we go to Wyckoff, New Jersey. Melanie, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to comment that I currently work for a company that offers benefits for domestic partnerships for a heterosexual couple. This is one of the main reasons why I'm working for the company, because it was so hard to find benefits for my boyfriend. We're in a long-term relationship. We don't want to get married. And I can't tell you how many people said to me, well, why don't you just get married, and then you can have benefits for him. And it's just, it's absurd to me. I don't want to get married. It's my choice. We're choosing. We're happy. We're choosing not to get married. And I pay incredibly high premiums to have him on my plan. We're paying over $1,000 a month for insurance that's really just an awful HMO.
Thank you very much. And a lot of people in your position, I suspect, coming out of the woodwork now, if companies are really starting to change their policies.
This is exactly the concern I have, is that gay people will now be in the same position that the last caller was in, is that you have to get married in order to get those benefits. And what some progressive employers have done is said each employee gets to pick a person. It can be your spouse. It can be your unmarried domestic partner. It could be your brother who needs health insurance, your parent. But you don't need to be in a romantic relationship with this person, and you don't need to be married to that person in order to put them on your benefits plan. That strikes me as a more equitable and fairer way to think about how to distribute benefits.
Wait, I'm not sure I got all of that. If you are sharing a house with your sibling, you're saying the sibling should be entitled to domestic partner benefits at work?
No, you don't need to share a home with them. Each person gets to pick a person that they would like to have on their benefits plan. It could be your spouse. It could be the domestic partner who you live with. Or it could be your brother who lives, you know, down the street or in another town, but really
needs
health insurance.
Why should that be an employer's responsibility?
Well, as you know, Brian, in the United States, we distribute health care through employment. There's no reason why it has to be then portaled through the very narrow channel of marriage. That, to me, doesn't seem any more obvious than whoever else it is in your life who you're close to, you care about, you worry about, and who needs health care. So until we have some kind of national health care where health care isn't distributed through employment for the most part, some employers have said, you know what, I don't want to get in the business of requiring people to marry. I don't want to get in the business of deciding who's worthy recipient of health care and who isn't. Each employee gets to name one person, and it's up to you who it is.
Before you go, and people will obviously agree or disagree with that notion that when you get hired, what you win is health insurance for yourself and the friend or relative of your choice. But the journal speculated, just so as not to engender undue anxiety out there, that most companies with unmarried domestic partner benefits will keep them, either because they are national companies that prefer to have a single policy, not state by state, or because it's a perk that helps the company compete for workers. Do you expect that too?
I hope that's true, and it may be true, and I think the fact that we're talking about this now may make people think about it, and it will become true. But there certainly are some employers that are now saying marriage is the, now that we've equalized marriage in New York, we're not going to recognize health benefits for domestic partners. And I think that would be a sad thing to lose and an unfortunate thing to lose.
All right. I'm glad you came on and talked with us about this. Catherine Franke, Director of the Center for Gender and Sexuality Law at the Columbia Law School. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Now, what about the question of states' rights? We're going to play a clip in a minute from President Obama's news conference yesterday where he laid gay marriage squarely at the feet of the states. Marriage equality is a state's option, says President Obama. He said it's a good thing in New York. Was that an endorsement of same-sex marriage legal under the law that many people have been looking for from him? But he said it's up to the states, and that's a good thing, too. Well, a lot of people think that's not enough and that it should become a federal civil right, as other things that started as states' options did over the years. So we're going to talk to a historian next about the history of states' rights versus federal guarantees on many things and see how it relates to this. Stay with us.